When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome everybody to the Flickr Effect podcast. I'm Dave Lott. So we're doing something a little different this episode. We all wanted to talk about that Ahsoka finale, of course, but unfortunately our schedules were just not aligning. So for the first half of this episode, you'll hear Michelle and I discuss episode 8. Then a couple days later, Bobby and I were able to sit down and chat about the episode, and you'll hear that in the second half. Before we get started, just a word of warning, though, for those of you who have not seen all of Ahsoka, including that finale, this is a spoiler review of the episode. We will be talking about spoilers throughout the review. So keep that in mind. If you haven't watched it, we invite you to go check that out first and then come back and listen to the podcast. With that, here is our review of Ahsoka Episode 8. Ahsoka Episode 8 of the finale of this first season has come and gone. What were your thoughts, Michelle?
My thoughts. And this is just on the last episode?
I mean, the show is on. Whatever, the show is a whole, the last whole. Episode, that's up to you. There's no rules here.
Man, I feel like I'm going to be saying the word a lot in this episode. I hate doing that. There I go. Episode 8. I will say, even before the episode started, you hadn't even hit play, and I looked at you and I said, they have a ridiculous amount to cover to wrap things up in one last episode. You were like, yeah, there's no way that's happening. I'm like, I know that. So going into it even, it was like, wow, this is, yeah, there's just going to be, it's going to feel either like they're not answering anything, or it's rushed, or it's just not going to give me what I think is going to be a conclusion to the story that we have gotten so far in a manner that would make me feel content. And I was right. We find ourselves way out in the middle of nowhere, and everybody's on this planet and everybody's trying to get off the planet because nobody wants to get stranded and left behind on this planet. And yeah, you know, it's like just slowly watching things unfold. It's like now I can't think. Thrawn, you know, is constantly putting up walls to just minimally just to slow down Ahsoka and Sabine, and now my brain just blanked on Ezra, you know, and so he's just trying to slow them down, and he succeeds, I mean, to points, you know. I mean, yeah, he sacrifices a lot of his dudes, a lot of his stormtroopers, but in the end, you know, he gets what he wants, and that's to slow them down and not have them stop him from leaving that planet, and he is successful. And you know, my whole thing, ever since, I forget which episode it is, but ever since Sabine decided to give them that map, my whole thing is like, she's literally putting the entirety of the universe up against hanging out with her crush, hanging out with her dude. Like, it's a lot to buy into that somebody would sacrifice the greater good of literally everyone for one dude. And it's kind of been my challenge for most of the season, honestly. And this episode, it really just drove it home that, wow, yeah, like, Thrawn's back. And I guess in one sense, that does catapult the Star Wars story and lore forward. But I don't know. I just felt very like, oh, well, okay, here we are. This is it. And this is the end of the season. And I mean, I guess the whole idea was that they would leave it in a way so that they could have a season two. But, yeah, I'm not a fan of this episode, of the way the story unfurled. I'm not really a fan of where things are left. I feel maybe I had really high expectations of Ahsoka. I was just ridiculously excited way back when Rosario was cast as the character of Ahsoka. And maybe I had high expectations that this was going to be just really, really awesome. And I just feel like I'm a little let down. Having said that, I think the production value of this show as a whole is good. It's way better than Boba Fett. I mean, almost everything's better than Boba Fett.
Yeah, that's not much to compare it to.
It's not. And I would say that I think I even liked the production value better. I think it's much better than even Obi-Wan. Maybe I could say it is on par with like what we've seen with The Mandalorian for the most part. I would say there's moments of that's not great, but then most of overall though, I think we get a good level of Mandalorian production. And again, there's a part of me that thinks it's a shame that you're not getting the production value that you do out of like Andor. I don't know. I feel let down by this entire show as a whole. This episode was no change for me. And I say that, and you know, I think a lot of people have issues with the way Ahsoka is, and they feel like she has a different personality basically from episode to episode, and I don't fully agree with that thought process. This episode, she definitely seemed more at peace with her own self and with being a Jedi and where she is in this whole situation. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm just kind of rambling, but I feel very let down.
Not too happy. Don't sound.
I mean, we've seen worse stuff from Disney Star Wars.
I'll say first in regards to this episode, yeah, I wasn't very happy with it. The show as a whole, it's tough. It's always tough when you end a season on kind of a bad note, mm-hmm. to look back and kind of have an open mind about the season and go, okay, well, what did I think about season one? Overall, I enjoyed the season. You know, there were times in the middle of the season I still, you know, stand behind saying that it felt the most like Star Wars, maybe, of any of the shows we've gotten so far. And I'm also saying that as someone who absolutely loves Andor. Andor is the best thing that they've ever made on television.
Correct.
But with that said, I mean, there's aspects about Ahsoka that were like, wow, this is so Star Wars. And it's in a good way.
There are some moments.
And overall, like, yeah, I mean, we were going week to week and I was genuinely like, man, I can't wait to see what happens next. It felt like a good water cooler show. Like, we were looking forward to talking about it every week, and we haven't had that a lot. You know, I definitely didn't feel that way this season in The Mandalorian. I didn't feel that way with Boba Fett, for sure. So I can't just go, man, this whole season's a total letdown. But yeah, the last couple episodes. But yeah, this episode is for a finale. Even though, you know, like you said, you asked right before it started, like, oh man, there's so much to wrap up. And I made the comment, I'm like, well, there's no way it's wrapping all this up. Like, they are definitely ending this in kind of a cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. and they definitely do. I was not wrong about that. With that said, maybe a little too much or not enough was kind of paid off at the end of this episode.
I agree with that.
Especially probably the most interesting characters of the show, Balin and Shin Hati, basically non-existent in this episode, which is a real bummer. Week after week when we talked about this here on the podcast, we were like, man, we love these two characters, and obviously we are not alone. I mean, almost anything else I've listened to, other reviews or watched on YouTube, everyone has been saying these two characters are super interesting, and we are most interested in what's going on, especially with Balin. What's his motivation here? What's going on with this guy? And also knowing that unfortunately the actor has passed away. So how is his story going to end at the end of this season? You know, are we going to end up seeing a recast in the future, or is his character going to die? Or, you know, super interested in these two characters, and this episode gives us next to nothing, and it's just that really bummed me out. not to say that it needed to wrap up their story, but
it doesn't propel their stories forward in any way.
No,
really. Not really.
You know, it goes back into a budget and, you know, showtime or show running time. If only more money could have been thrown at this show and each episode could have been an hour. I'm saying this, and a lot of these episodes were better than some other Mandalorian episodes we got where they were super short. Most of these were in the 40-minute range, I think. I think this last episode, if I remember right, when we clicked on it in the app, I think it said 48-minute runtime, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that off the top of my head. Anyway. But yeah, a good at least hour for a finale, and also touching a little more on what's going on with Balin, or at least a little more about where he's headed and what's going on with Shin. And even the way kind of things wrapped up with Shin in episode 7, I was just what? What is this? I don't know.
They just left her out to dry, basically. Yeah. They really just leave her character out to dry.
And the way this episode ends, it makes me go, I'm going to say this, but I don't believe that this is what they're doing, but it almost could come across that's it. That's our goodbye to her, and we're done with her. I don't think that's the case, but it ends in a way where it's is that it? Mm-hmm. I don't think so, but that'd be a real bummer. Even though obviously the Balin storyline is kind of the bigger what's his plan, because she was just kind of along for the ride. Mm-hmm. So it seems from the little we know about the two of them.
Right.
That bummed me out most with this episode. There was also aspects of this episode that just in terms of direction and, you know, cinematography, I was not a fan of. There were very kind of wonky scenes, the way they looked. There's a particular fight scene with Ahsoka. I think it's when Ahsoka and Ezra and Sabine are behind her, and they're all kind of deflecting, you know, blaster shots from all these stormtroopers. And it's just the way it had this kind of close-up shot on her, and it just looked, it didn't look good. It didn't look very cinematic. It looked very
flat.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It's just, and there were a couple shots like that in this episode where I was this doesn't look great.
Right. I think there were shots I felt that didn't come out as dynamic as they should have. But my other thing is I felt there were scenes where they were just kind of standing around staring at each other. And I'm you know, for people that are trying to, I don't know, stop the Empire, you all don't seem like you got a lot of wind in your sails here. It felt like there just was a lot of oh, yeah, that's happening. Okay.
Yeah, I guess I know what you mean in terms of You know, obviously they're away from the temple or whatever.
Right. They don't know.
So
the
they don't
kind of
know
table.
Exactly what's going on. But in general, like Ahsoka,
they know this is the goal.
Ahsoka knows, like, hey, I came here on a whale, and my chances of getting back on a whale, or all of us back on a whale, are slim to none. It could have been a one-time thing.
And Thrawn is going to try to leave.
We really got to move. And you're right. There's a lot of just kind of like
doodly doodly do. And that's not even just this episode. It's in, like, I want to say 6, 7, and 8. There's just a lot of like doodly doodly do. Hey, man, I'm glad I got to find you out in the middle of nowhere of the universe. I'm like, cool. We got to get some fire in you here. Like, it just seems like there's no drive of importance of right. Dude, we gotta go get Thrawn, man. He's gonna try to leave, and if he leaves, we're screwed and home is screwed. Like, there's no that emotion is completely lacking for me. And honestly, that is
there's things like that that don't make sense in the storytelling.
No sense whatsoever to me.
And there's also other things that I'm like, half of me is fine with and half of me is like, yeah, it's problematic. Like, I'm thinking of like Ahsoka's reaction to what Sabine did, like when they finally get to talk about, hey, like I put us in this situation. And as a Jedi, I don't necessarily have a problem with how Ahsoka addresses it. At the same time, I with the way the show sets that up back in like episode, I think 3 and 4 or whatever it was, when they had a conversation about, hey, we're going to have to destroy this map and we're never going to see Ezra again. And how do you feel about that, Sabine? And Sabine seems conflicted. Like, the way the show was setting it up, it was like Ahsoka was setting up that conversation in a way of like, this is serious. You can't mess this up. Like,
right. And then she totally does.
And then she totally does.
She poops the bed.
So it's like, with that back conversation in mind, I think the reaction is a little like, I get that you're friends and she's your apprentice and everything now. But she messed up pretty bad.
Like,
I don't know.
She literally put balance of the weight of everything because she couldn't keep it in her pants?
Well, no, I mean, I'm saying this as someone who's not a Rebels aficionado, because I haven't watched it all, but I don't even think it's so much like a love interest. I think it's like a deep friendship thing, is my understanding. I'm saying that because you've mentioned the whole, like...
I'm just making a bad joke. I'm
I could be wrong
you.
About that, but...
I could be wrong, too. Maybe it's... I think it is just a deep friendship, but even so... You're putting your entire deepest friendship ever at stakes against the entire Rebel Alliance world's universe. Like, I feel like any person would go, wow, I guess I'm just really never going to see that human being ever again. Like,
but, I mean, while we're talking about this, though, really quick, you know, let's play devil's advocate, though. Like... We're also, I feel like we're kind of approaching it like she straight up was like made literally a deal with the devil when, you know, Baylan Skoll, when he had that conversation with her, is a very convincing guy. You know, he's also like a former Jedi, obviously. He's talking to her in a way that is very convincing.
I think, like, he meant what he was saying.
I'm saying this to put it in a perspective that she wasn't just straight up like, yeah, Satan. Okay, sounds great. Like, she was talking to someone and kind of was convinced.
I agree. But prior to that conversation, she had 2 of the exact same conversations with Ahsoka.
I know. I'm saying all this. And you know I'm on the same pages but.
And I understand that basically Thrawn going back is what catapults basically the next chapters of our Star Wars storylines. I get it, but it's hard to buy into this premise of this is how it went down.
Right.
It's a big spoon to swallow.
It is. There's other things too that are like, part of me, it doesn't bother me too much, but part of me is like, yeah, like, it just seems way too convenient to, like, She's been trying to use the Force this whole time.
She
finally gets, finally in a moment of like life or death, basically, is like, she uses it. Great. I have no issue with that. Like, but then like right after that, she is fully convinced, like, yeah, I can help push you across this huge chasm of space. Like, in one sense, I appreciate your
optimism.
Your optimism and
your abilities.
And I guess I can also, I guess as we watch the episode, the way I was feeling, I was definitely reacted in the back of my mind to that of like, wait, what? Like, but at the same time, I'm like, well, she's always been trying, she's been working on this. And it was like, maybe it was really just that one moment of it finally working for her that
the wall came down.
Suddenly it just clicks and she's good to go. But I mean, she hasn't even tried a second time yet. It's like, I'm going to go from I got a lightsaber to move from here to there to I'm going to put your life in my hands. And like this guy that I just traveled from one galaxy to another for, I'm going to I'm super convinced you're not going to fall to your death.
Like, I got you. I got this. We got this.
Yeah, that was like, really?
It was a stretch. Like, it almost made me wish that at that moment, Ahsoka had caught up to them at that moment and was behind her, and she was, like, pushing him with her Force from her hand.
Like, or it could have been a funny moment of, like, that conversation and Ahsoka overhearing it and her going, whoa, whoa, whoa. let's slow down. You're not going to be able to do that quite yet.
I just don't think I have that much confidence.
Yeah, that's anyway.
That's a huge leap. The leap from literally, like, I've been trying this whole time to, I made my lightsaber and jump from the ground to my hand. Like, that's a big leap, one. And then the leap from, I made my lightsaber move from the ground to my hand to, I'm going to send this dude sailing across the Grand Canyon to this destroyer. I was like, yeah, this is a lot.
Another thing that, I don't know, like, not that I say, not that I like this person, this character, but Morgan Elsbeth, like, she gets this big moment. And part of me is like, cool, like, this is cool. Like, she gets
the, what, the dark shadows given to her? What is it?
I am no expert on the witches of Dothamir, and I, but whatever little thing they do, and they make her into like a full fledged sister or whatever.
She levels up. She levels up in her witchdom.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, I'm like, okay, this is cool. And I want to see where this goes. And I mean, boom, it's already over. Like, I mean, quickly we have this, she has this conversation with Thrawn, where Thrawn's basically, without saying it, he's like, yeah, we're going to leave you behind so that you can get stuff done for us.
You're sacrificing
yourself. I'm listening to this conversation going, really?
Like they gave her the cool green flame katana. And then they're like, yeah, no, and you're going to sacrifice
yourself. It's not even like that I have a problem with that like motivation that Thrawn would do that. That's fine.
I get that motivation. Totally
get it. But I guess as a viewer, the fact that it still ends in her just quickly dying, not quickly, but she dies in the end. And I'm just like, really? That's...
And I'll be honest, like, she puts up a fight. But like, if I compare this sword fight with her and Ahsoka... Sorry.
No. Go ahead. I just thought of something.
To the sword fight that she and Ahsoka had back from, what was that, Mandalorian?
Mm-hmm.
That sword fight was amazing. And this sword fight was a little lackluster. And she had a cool katana. It was kind of lacklustery to me.
But no, the thing that just clicked in my head, another thing that in the moment I'm like, wait, what is happening right now? Like, she is specifically being told, hey, you need to hold them up because we got to go so much. Like, you're going to sacrifice yourself because you're going to stay behind. You need to hold them up. She goes down, meets them in a room.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ahsoka decides, hey, I'm going to take care of this. You guys got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And she just lets them go.
I'm like,
you are failing at your job immediately. Like, your job is to hold them up.
Ezra and Sabine are like, we're just going to wall crawl around you and then go right behind you.
And she just watches him and kind of gives him a look like, yeah, it's fine.
Because I guess in devil's advocate, she's going, my main goal here is to stop Ahsoka. And I'll buy that to a point, but yeah, like well, what do you think these two are doing with her? They're going to go, like, oh, I was thinking that while we were watching that scene. I was going, yeah. This is not. Mm-mm,
it's like, dude, no. Mm-mm. Like, she is, I mean, she is so diehard that she's like, yes, Thrawn, I will stay behind and, you know,
keep them. I will do this for the Empire.
I will do this for the Empire. But immediately she's just like, but you two are fine. Like, and you, one of you, you are Jedi, basically. I mean, for all intents and purposes.
She's powerful.
No, I'm talking about letting Ezra about Ezra, like, she's one of
Jedi go
it's
by.
Not even like you're saying, oh, well, these are just two random dudes, but I got to stop the Jedi. No, I mean, he's basically a Jedi. A Jedi
and a Mandalorian just walked by you.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I was thinking, I'm like, so he's going to put her with her new powers, but he can't leave his, you know, left-handed lieutenant dude, whatever, with the gold face, like... You can't trust him to stay behind and die?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I would have bought that scene a little bit better if he was the one that was like, I'm staying to fight Ahsoka and these two can go. I'd be like, yeah, I kind of buy that. He seems like he's probably an idiot. Cool. But like, I'm trying not to, it's like, I don't want to just poop on this whole episode.
No,
but like,
I don't. There were things I liked about it. Of course, trying to think of the things I liked. I mean, yeah, the moment.
The lightsaber build was cool.
The lightsaber build is cool. Yeah.
We got the lightsaber build. The lightsaber build is cool.
It is.
It's a cool moment.
I'll just say, I mean, because we're going to wrap up pretty soon. But it's tough as a Star Wars fan right now for me. Like,
it is.
I say that and then like I had to remind myself today. Oh, yeah. Andor exists, and there's going to be a season two eventually.
The beacon of light and gold and wonder and amazement.
But beyond that, it's as much as I started this conversation off by saying, like, hey, overall, I still enjoyed the season for the most part overall. With that said, it like the way this progressed and the way this season ended, it's still evidence to me that the way Disney is handling this property, especially on Disney Plus, is problematic for me. Like, it makes me like a skeleton crew. I don't know a lot about it, but I'm you know, of course it's Star Wars, so I'll be interested to see what that looks like, and hopefully it's good. I have been like Bobby, we've both Acolyte, man, I can't wait to see Acolyte, but at the same time I am super skeptical. Like, as much as
I'm almost fearful for you, because I know that you're so interested in Acolyte, and I'm like, God, I hope this doesn't suck. Like, I hope it is. Like, it's going to crush you if it does.
Well, I will say, I don't know that it will crush me, because at this point, there's been no evidence to me that there should be something different about Acolyte.
True.
Like, I feel like Acolyte's going to be kind of more the same of, like, episodes that don't feel, developed enough, and they're way too short, and a season that's probably going to feel too short, and you know, stuff like that. I'm right now just bummed and not excited about much of anything when it comes to Star Wars. So
I mean, my only beacon of hope is Andor, but I'm with you. Like, I don't have a lot more hope past Andor, and it just makes me frustrated, because it makes me wish that there was some other company, and I cannot think of a company off the top of my head at the moment, but I wish there was some company that would swoop in, get to Disney's face, and be like, nope, you can't have the shiny thing anymore. We're buying it and we're taking it away. You don't know what the hell you're doing, and everybody is tired of your BS. And there's a part of me really kind of wishes that would happen. I don't know who that magical company would be, but it just makes me think, yep, somebody should just go and take the shiny toy away from Disney, because they don't know what they're doing with it, and it's frustrating to see it go this direction.
And I'm saying all that too, because that's how I feel as the season ended, and I guess it's even more frustrating because there was a point mid-season where I was like,
pretty happy.
I was like, I'm not saying this is like the most amazing thing I've ever seen, but I feel like this show is itself moving in the right direction, and maybe that's evidence that overall maybe things Star Wars at Disney are moving in a better direction. But now, as the season has ended, I'm like, no.
So basically, the episode with the whales was your high point. But I think it's frustrating that it took that many episodes to get to that point. And then from that point on, it went down again. And that, for me, is frustrating.
Yeah, that's probably true.
It shouldn't take that long for it to get that enjoyable, and it shouldn't drop off that quickly, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But what do I know?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sitting here looking at like the episode titles, remember exactly when what happened and what episode. Yeah,
episode 6, Far, Far Away.
Right.
Like, for me, I think episode 5, I think, was the height for me. But I'm like, it shouldn't take to the 5th episode of an 8-episode season for me to go, hey, I think this is finally gaining some legs. And then episode 6 wasn't, I was not as amazed with episode 6. And episode 7 and 8 were meh.
No, episode 6 was, you know, fine. But yeah. Episode 5, I would agree. The episode 5 was pretty good. I mean, probably a high point.
Yes.
Well, any other quick thoughts before you and I wrap this up?
Correct. I think I'm not angry. I'm just very disappointed.
Aw, that hurts even more, Michelle. With that, as I mentioned, we are wrapping up our conversation now, but we're going to take a quick break in this episode. And as we return, it will be Bobby and I in the future, in a couple days, sharing our thoughts on this episode. I'm very curious to hear Bobby's thoughts. We've talked off air, but not about this episode, obviously. So I don't know how he feels about it. So I'm going to go ahead and put in my guess right here on air. I'm going to assume he's pretty similar, actually.
Really?
I think so.
Because I felt like he was enjoying this as a whole more than you and I were. But I don't get anybody being disappointed in the last episode. That doesn't shock me. But I'd be curious to see what his feelings are as a whole on the show.
I think similar. I would. Really? Yeah, I think so. Cool. I mean, maybe a little happier with it, but
I guess I'll have to listen and find out.
Yeah. But yeah, I think with the last episode, I have a feeling it'll be I'll just keep saying quietly similar.
Okay.
With that, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we are back, and we have time traveled into the future, at least 2 days. It is 2 days later, and instead of Michelle with me, we now have Bobby Jackson. How's it going, Bobby?
It's going good. looking forward to talking about this last episode of Ahsoka.
Yeah, last episode of Ahsoka, and a look back at Ahsoka in general. You and I have not talked about this, so I don't know your thoughts. You have listened to what Michelle and I said, and you also heard our predictions for what you think.
Yep.
So let us know. Am I crazy? Did you love it? Did you think it was about the same as us, or what?
Well, I'll say before I get right to that, I do want to say that for the episode prior to that, I remember talking to you when I was saying how for me every episode had gotten progressively better than the last, and I still share that sentiment with the episode 7. I think a lot of people, from what I saw online, were not feeling it as much. They thought it was definitely a letdown from the previous episode. For me, I really enjoyed that episode for, if no other reason than the pacing and the aspects that we seem to have gotten a good amount of everybody. We start off with Hera with the Senate, and then we go into getting stuff from Thrawn and stuff from Baylan and Shin, as well as Ezra and Ahsoka and Sabine. And I felt like they cut between those things happening pretty well and was able to get a very well-rounded forward momentum into the season finale, if it is a season finale. They haven't said if there's a second season yet, but yeah. So going into this finale, I was very much ready to see where we were going to go. I had no kind of expectations as far as what we would see within episode 8. Whereas on the internet, I'm sure, I don't even think I looked, but I'm sure people were theorizing of all the different things that they thought they would see, as they tend to do. So I didn't pay too much attention to any of that stuff that was going on there. I just thought, okay, this is the last episode. I don't know as far as if there's going to be another season or not. So what are we going to get here? And I think for the series as a whole, I was very much happy with what we got. If I had to rank it where this season is in terms of other Star Wars shows that have been on Disney Plus, it might be like if you were to say Andor is number one, and then maybe like you give, I don't know, maybe Andor and the second season of Mandalorian are number one or something like that. But then like season one of Mandalorian, and then this would, Ahsoka would come right after that for me. Above Obi-Wan, above Boba Fett for sure. So
for sure.
I was definitely happy overall with the show. With the season finale, it left me wanting, I guess. I was disappointed more so in it than anything else. I came away from it, and it was not due to the fact that there was a cliffhanger towards the end there with some of the characters. It was more along the lines of having to do with, I felt unsatisfied, I think. And again, not because of not getting closure with certain storylines. It was just that I felt like with that episode, it seemed very rushed to me. Like the whole point was getting them to the point that they needed to be at. And so it felt like it cut down on the amount of characterization that we had been getting throughout this season for some of the characters. And there was a lack of, I remember, I don't know, 20 minutes into it thinking, why have we not seen Baylan and Shin yet? I couldn't understand why they weren't in the episode at all at that point. And then, of course, you get just silent scenes of them at the end of the episode, which to me wasn't enough. I think that there could have been more there that they could have done with those characters. Like I said, the previous week's episode, they shared the pie pretty well to me for all the different characters that were there and what was going on. So in my mind, I felt like they should have had 9 episodes, and this could have been the 8th episode as it is, and then built upon that with a 9th, or a longer 8th episode. It could have gone for 1.5 hours and gave you a little bit more breathing room to get to the point you wanted to get to. Just give a couple more scenes to some of these characters, because a lot of things just felt like it was truncated. Even, for instance, like even in the beginning of the episode when Ezra is talking to Hu Yang, and Hu Yang's kind of explaining what happened between Sabine and Ahsoka. And I was like, well, that's cool that Ezra kind of gets clued in on it, and us as the audience as well. But I would have preferred to see that conversation happen with the actual characters and them get into it a little bit more. And it felt like what they said was like, I don't know, 20 seconds of dialogue between the two of them after all this buildup of her doing all these different things that led them to the point that they're at. It just, what, there was no conversation there. Just as much as there was no conversation there between her and Ezra about what she did, because he made this sacrifice, and for them to not even address it, that he had no concern with it, it seems odd that that wouldn't have been a conversation in any sort of way. So there's a lot of instances within this episode, this last season finale episode, that just felt like they didn't give themselves enough time, and all they would have needed was another episode or a longer episode to fact, in a way that was satisfying to me, I suppose, of being able to give you a little bit more and still end on the same ways that you did. I had no issues with them setting up things for another season. It's just that I think I got the short end on some of the characterization stuff that was being presented, and it seemed like we didn't get enough there.
I mean, yeah, I totally agree. I know you listened to what Michelle and I talked about, but you may not have heard every little bit of it. I don't know what you heard and what you didn't, but I mean, I agree with you. I don't have a problem with the way the episode ended. I fully went into it expecting, like, this is going to have cliffhangers. This is, you know, like, I think, like, Michelle and I talked about, she said before it started, it's like, oh, there's a lot to wrap up. I'm like, they're not going to wrap all this up. Like, this is going to be, like, the end of a season that is obviously going into a hopeful season two or something. And that's exactly what we got. And that's fine. But, yeah. I think I said a lot of the same things in that. Yeah, like, there needed to be more time. I think this show, and I think a lot of the stuff we've seen from Star Wars in general on Disney Plus has been the same kind of complaint, that they don't seem to be devoting enough, I guess, budget into this show to get these episodes longer and allow there to be more, like, character development and just flesh things out more. And yeah, like you said, like one of our biggest, one of the things we enjoyed the most about the show, you know, Baylan and Shin, and like these last two episodes really, but especially this last episode, like almost nothing from them. Like, and I'm just like, really? Like, like, obviously there's cliffhangers, and the idea seems to be that we're going to see more of them, but like, wow, like, that just blew my mind. I was thinking the same thing, like, you know, a good chunk into the episode. I'm like, wow, we haven't seen them yet, and I'm getting the feeling we're not going to. And I was really starting to think, are we not going to see them at all?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how I would have reacted if we'd never seen anything from them. Yeah. I would have been mad as well, but, which, you know, it didn't happen, but still, we practically didn't get them at all. It's a travesty, yeah, in my opinion, like,
oh, go ahead.
No, it's really all.
Well, I was just going to say that, to me, an additional scene between the two of them, not specifically between the two of them, but with the two of them separately, another scene for each of them, would have done so much, because you could give a way through into which how Shin is feeling, because at one point you think that, okay, she's made her choice. She's going to be within the Empire. She's going to go back with Thrawn. Clearly, she doesn't. She goes back to those
Raiders or whatever.
Raiders, yeah.
I don't know what they're called.
But yeah, there was like, not savages, but I forget what they called them. But clearly, she went looking for them instead of going back to the ship. Maybe, I don't know if she felt like she was too far behind to catch up. I don't know, but we don't know. Like, what made her decide to go that route? I would have liked to see a scene that at least shows her kind of, she didn't even have to talk. She could have looked off in the distance and saw the ship and looked in a different direction and made her choice to go in a different direction or something, you know,
something that would have done, that would have said a lot more than what we got.
Yeah. And same with Baylan. It could have been a little bit of him looking at something that he had on him, like a map or I don't know, something that showed that he's making a decision of what he's looking for, because that had been teased so much throughout the episode or throughout the season. To not at least acknowledge specifically, especially for people who are new to this, they have no idea what the significance of those statues are. They're just
I really don't. I only know because of things I watch on YouTube and talking to you.
Right. So, and for anyone listening, the statue he's standing on, and the statues that are there, they represent the Mortis gods that are... very hard to explain, but briefly, they're just kind of embodiments of the Force, and then there's the Father, the Son, and the Daughter, and it looks like that's where his mission is taking him towards, this living pool of the Force that was inhabited by these Force gods, basically. So it's there in silence, but not there for anyone who has no clue or idea. They just see him standing on a mountaintop, and if you look, you can see something shining in the distance. But yeah, that's like, that's barely anything. They could have given a little bit more there.
And I mean, like you said, for people who are not caught up on a lot of that, that just is meaningless.
Yeah.
Like, to most of us, even me, who in the moment when I was watching it, even though before seeing this episode, as we've been going through Ahsoka and I've been kind of watching stuff on YouTube, kind of reviewing these episodes and seeing references to like, what is this reference to that? And blah, blah, blah. And knowing about those Mortis gods, at least, you know, surface level kind of information. Even having seen that stuff, when I saw him standing there, I didn't look at it and went, oh yeah, it's the father or whatever. I had no idea. And that's a side conversation too. Like, to be honest, like from the little bit I've learned about that from other sources, I'm like, I don't even know what I think of this as like a Star Wars thing. And I really don't know what most audience Star Wars fans that aren't like caught up on a lot of the animated stuff will think of that. Like, to me, it's, I don't, but I'm also admitting I'm very uneducated about it. But from what I've heard, I'm like, I don't know that I care for this theology, this philosophy, whatever. Like, I don't know that I don't want this in Star Wars. So I don't know what you think of it, but
is on a holistic level, it tries to differentiate the Force in a couple different ways, because we all know of the living Force. Yoda talks about it, and that's the Force that most people are aware of. This Force is considered sort of a cosmic force that inhabits other types of things, and so it gets into that, and so it just expands what the Force is in a different way. So you're right. Who knows how general audiences will take that when they were already more or less just bought into the idea of what the Force in and of itself can be. And even that, they still expound upon at different times and what the Force can do and be and how it inhabits and does certain things. So that in and of itself is still a thing without adding the cosmic force into it. So it will be very interesting to see how they handle that going forward for whatever way they want to introduce it and make it accessible to general audiences.
Yeah. I'll be very curious, because again, I don't really know that I'm going to care for it. And I think a lot of people are going to go, okay, Star Wars has jumped the shark. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people will react to it that way. Yeah. But I'm curious to see. And also, I don't think this is where they're going, because they definitely haven't announced anything like this. I mean, for one, they haven't even announced the season two of Ahsoka.
Right.
You know, but the way the episode ends and going back to Baylan and Shin, it almost looks like you could see them going down a road of like, would that be almost like a spinoff then, like storyline away from Ahsoka? Or would that continue to be involved in the Ahsoka storyline? I mean, if I had to put down money, I'm going to assume it's going to continue to be involved in this Ahsoka series, but I could see a situation where they split it.
Yeah.
Has that crossed your mind or?
It didn't until you mentioned it, but my money would be on the fact that it would still be combined with Ahsoka, just mostly because I don't know that they would be able to. I think that the same thing that happens in a lot of superhero movies that would happen in a spinoff series if you had Baylan and Shin, because then people would be like, well, why isn't Sabine showing up in this episode, or why isn't it? They're on the same planet, and so how far away are they from all each other that they wouldn't show up at some point in time, given what they're doing? But outside of that, I would definitely watch it, and I would be fine with seeing a series for them that was spun off. That'd be great. Of course, one big hurdle would be having to replace Ray Stevenson and who we would get as the new Balin. But yeah.
Yeah, a big hurdle indeed. Going back to this episode, I was curious. I, you know, again, Michelle and I discussed a few things that we majorly bumped on in this episode, which is another reason I didn't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to go, and in terms of not enjoying it, I will say, I, you know, going back to episode 7, I definitely fall in the camp of I am not a fan of episode 7 much at all. The way this season ends with 7 and 8 is a huge disappointment to me. I'm glad that you enjoyed episode 7, but I definitely fall in the other camp for sure. But yeah, were there certain things that you bumped on at all? I mean, I know there's one thing I didn't mention with Michelle that I still wanted to mention, and I'll be curious to see if you might bring it up. But was there anything that you wanted to talk about that bugged you or things you really liked?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of things that I bumped up against in this episode. And I think it goes into it me again feeling that the episode was rushed, and that's why I'm bumping up on certain things, because I felt like if maybe they had more time, someone in the writing room would have realized, hey, this doesn't make sense, or this is inconsistent, right, or something. But just even in the beginning of the episode, if they know they got to get to Thrawn, I don't understand why they're traveling with the caravan. What is that going to, for one, that's slowing you down. For two, what's the plan when you get to the Star Destroyer? Like, what are those turtle people going to do but get destroyed? Why would you bring them with you? I don't understand that. Like,
no, exactly. It made no sense. I mean, Michelle and I talked about that there seemed to be no urgency to their situation at all. And it's like, you know that they're really your only path home. these turtle crab people seem great, but it's a nice goodbye and we got to do our own thing now. Bye. Yeah. I don't get it at all. I'm with you.
It made no sense. And then another thing I bumped up against that, it just seemed, where did this come from? Like, how did no one, what was this? Cause they're on those, things, I forget what they're called, those rat things, whatever. And they're going toward the temple. Oh, what's that?
No, sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
Oh, and they're going towards the temple, and Ahsoka tells Ezra that she needs help, like to try and keep the door open or open the door. I forget which one it was.
Oh, yeah.
And then she tells Sabine to help out. I'm like, help out with what? Like, what are you telling her to do? She's not exhibited any force powers at this point. Why would you ask her to help out? Like, I couldn't understand that. And then Sabine puts her hand out and she's like, what are you doing? I didn't know if that did anything. And it just made no sense. Do you have an explanation for that? Because I was wrapping my head trying to figure out, why would she ask her to help him out? Like, what does that mean?
I'll admit it. I don't think that bothered me. I guess the way I read it was that it's Ahsoka as a master to Sabine, kind of showing like confidence in her. Like, look, I know you've shown absolutely no evidence yet that you have any sensitivity to the Force, but I'm not going to just leave you out of this situation. Like, I need all the help we can get. And this is my way of showing my confidence in you so that maybe you'll then be confident in yourself. You may not actually be doing anything, but I felt like that's why she said that to Sabine. So I guess that actually didn't really bother me.
Yeah, I didn't get that at all. That just went over my head completely. I was like, why would you do that or ask her that when she's
not, I get what you're saying. Anything. Yeah, I get what you're saying. You're right. She doesn't show anything, you know, before later in the episode. But I guess it didn't bug me.
And there was even a point before that where Ahsoka and Sabine are talking and she asks her, have you kept up with your training? And I was like, when? At what point did she to keep training? She was captured.
Right.
Then she got with Ezra. And this was all in the span of a day or two. I don't know when she had time to keep up with her training. What are you talking about?
Weird question.
So, Yeah, that was one. Let's see. Ezra, last week, he was using those force powers to push everything around. And this week, he barely used it, which made no sense to me because you have all these night troopers all gathered together. One big, huge force push wave would knock them all backwards. I don't know why you wouldn't do it.
It's so that goes into like the action in this episode is I don't think is directed very well. It's not great, and I think that kind of plays into that.
Yeah, okay. One thing, let me say, I am very indifferent about. I could care less about it one way or the other. But I'm curious how you feel about it. Was when the Night Sisters brought the Night Troopers back to life as sort of zombie troopers. How did you feel about that?
I don't know. I guess I didn't. I'm kind of indifferent.
Yeah.
I wasn't enjoying any of that action anyway.
Yeah.
And then them doing that. I mean, in answer to, I think, because I've seen a lot of speculation, like, are these stormtroopers already basically undead? Like, in which would kind of explain their look. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, we had a whole conversation about that here on the podcast. Like, why do they look the way they look? They look so incredibly dirty and like beat down. And we talked, you know, the three of us talked about that for a while. And it was after that that I heard the kind of speculation, well, maybe this is an undead army of stormtroopers. And I was like, well, if that's the case, then I guess that at least makes me feel like it explains their look a little more to me. But there was nothing. So going into this episode, I was kind of like, you know, are they undead or not? And then once that happened, I'm like, well, I guess they weren't.
Yeah.
But now they are. Right. So it wasn't like some big shock to me because that was already kind of in the back of my mind that maybe they were already undead. So when they did that, it was just kind of like whatever. But yeah, once they did that and it was like they just continued to just block blasts, you know, like with their lightsabers. It's like at that point, I guess unless it's just a matter that they don't want on a Disney Plus Star Wars show to show them like hacking off the heads of stormtroopers. Yeah, sure. But and I guess that's why. But
yeah,
it seems like at that point, let's just get really crazy here. Like,
yeah.
And they don't. They just continue to block blaster bolts. And I'm like,
You have three people that are using a lightsaber and they're a fair enough distance away. There's no reason to me one of them couldn't have been force pushing. Another could be blocking blast.
Yeah.
And a third could just throw their lightsaber and control it and just like a boomerang, just cut heads. You know? there's no reason you couldn't do that.
Just right, right.
Get them all out the way. But there's definitely some other things, but I'll just mention a couple more real quickly. And towards the end, when Ezra goes and goes off and he's with Hera, before that, it's like, well, how did he even get away? We see so many times in Star Wars where they detect ships when they leave the Star Destroyer. Like, how did he get off the Star Destroyer to even get away? Unless Thrawn is tracking him, which he's done before, and that they don't know it, or Ezra doesn't know it, but it's going to be used later. Other than that, I'm like, I don't even know how he got away like that. Yep. And to further that a little bit more is when he does land, other than the fact that they just wanted it to look a certain sort of way, in what world would you get off the ship
in the
ship with the helmet on of a night trooper? That made no sense.
That was the one thing Michelle and I didn't talk about, and I wanted to bring up because like when he did that in the episode, I'm like, are you serious right now? You're walking off with the helmet on, like,
so dumb.
And I've heard that argument, like, oh, it's a cool like kind of cinematic moment of him walking off and then taking. I mean, you could still kind of have that moment of him still in the armor because he hasn't had time to take the armor off. Mm-hmm. So he's walking down the ramp, and at first you see that it's a stormtrooper, but you don't see his head yet. So you'd still have that moment of like them going, oh god, it's a stormtrooper walking down. But then once he comes past and, you know, gets far enough down, you can see his head, like,
yeah,
oh hey, it's Ezra. Like, you didn't have to have his helmet on to have that kind of moment.
Yeah.
It's just stupid. Yeah, like totally your audience, stupid. Your audience is smarter than that. Your audience doesn't even need to be intelligent to go, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad that is. Like, yeah, I hated that as well. Yeah.
And again, they must have a no hug policy because I don't know why Ezra and Hera did not hug each other after not seeing each other for these last 10 years or whatever. It's just why? What is going on?
One thing I was going to ask you, and this isn't about episode 8, this is about Ahsoka in general, the show. Because now that we're done with the season, I am going to say, like, when it comes to Hera and her eyes, I'm not a fan of the contacts. Like, I get that in animated form she had green eyes, but yeah. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's nothing about this race having all green eyes. It's not like we've definitely seen examples of people, Twi'leks, right? That are, they don't have green eyes. So it's not like that's a thing. Mm. And even though I get that in the animated form she had green eyes, it wasn't like the eyes were like this like bright, crazy, like standout feature about her, at least to me. Mm-hmm. And I would have rather them just been like, you know what? We cast somebody with brown eyes. That's just how it's going to be now. like I think it just would have looked better to have Mary Elizabeth Winstead's natural eyes because they just look weird and kind of silly to me. They just stand out too much. This is a nitpicky thing, I'm fully admitting. Mm-hmm. Like, in one sense, who cares? But I'm bringing it up anyway. Like, I don't know. It just bugs me. I kind of wish they wouldn't have done the contacts.
I think I got used to it. And it also helps that they... I hate to say this, but it's true, but she wasn't in it enough for it to bother me in the show.
And I get that.
And yeah, so sure. I think that helps as well. If she was on screen more, but again, I think I did start to get used to the look of it, and I can totally see that point. And I've even seen people make that same point about Ezra and his blue eyes because of in the show, his eyes are blue, as you're aware, as you've seen some of the episodes. Right. And so some people have said his eyes are too blue. Like maybe they could have dialed it down a little bit. And I'm like, yeah,
I guess so. But his didn't bother me. I don't feel like his stand out as much as hers.
No, I agree. I think hers do stand out a little bit more. But I also might think it has to do with expression because it typically seems like she has sort of a stoic expression on her face a lot of times, and that almost looks like it's a dead stare when she's just looking like that with those contacts. Yeah. Whereas with Ezra, he's very animated, not to use that term just in the sense of like the cartoon, but like his character, even in this show, and the way the actor plays him, he's smiling, he's, you know, moving around, he's more fluid. And Hera kind of comes off a little stiff, and so it just seems like it stands out even more because of that.
Yeah, maybe.
I definitely do agree for sure that it's more noticeable with Hera than it is with Ezra for me.
Yeah. I mean, and obviously we know it's going to be cheaper to put somebody in colored contacts versus like a visual effect. But,
yeah.
You know, I guess budget being no object, I could see a situation where it definitely would have been better to not wear contacts on set, but then try to digitally change her eye color.
Totally.
But then still, I would argue it's not worth it. Like, this is not a standout. It's not like Thrawn, where it's like, he has full red eyes. He needs to have full red eyes. Like, that, you can't change that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Her eye color is not, I think, a feature about her that's like, man, she has to have green eyes. Like,
yeah,
does she?
Yeah.
Like, we've obviously changed things from the animated version to, you know, the live action versions with other characters before. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think it was worth it.
I think
it worked.
I think that I would have seen people say the same thing in regards to Jason, but I think they would have complained more so than been okay with it. And what I mean by Jason is, even though you only see him for a second in the animated series, he has green hair. And he has green hair in this series. And I did see some people say, well, I don't know that the green hair is working for me. They could have just gave him like black hair and it would have been fine. Just a change from the animation series.
Yeah.
And again, that was one of those things where I was like, yeah, I could see it. Like, but I think I sometimes will watch something and not specifically pay too close attention so that it doesn't bother me, so that I'm not focused on it. I do that a lot with prosthetics and makeup and also with fight scenes sometimes, because I don't want to have it pull me out if I'm noticing that it's not as good as it could be. So I don't all the way watch that, if that makes sense.
Right.
Because I don't want that distraction of it. Because I can kind of notice it when I'm watching it in terms of the choreography or the fight scenes, that these aren't specifically been training for 20-year fighters that know these moves and are very fluid. So I don't try to look all the way. Whereas if I'm watching something like John Wick or The Raid, I'm like hyper focused in on it because I know that these guys are trained and they've been doing it for years. So I'm looking for it and I'm pleased by it because I know how hard it is and what it takes for them to be doing what they're doing. Whereas I know these are just actors who've only had a limited amount of time to do it because it's a series and not a movie. And they probably only had weeks compared to like where in the movies, maybe they have months before the movie even starts to do it. And, you know, so it's kind of one of those things where I know it's there, I know it's a problem, but I'm not looking close enough for it to bother me to where it was going to stick out in my head.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But, and I'm admitting, again, I said before, it's nitpicky, but it's one of those things, like at first I was like, okay, I don't know, she has green eyes. Mm. I guess that's why they did this, but anyway. Anything else that you wanted to discuss about Ahsoka in general?
Well, with Ahsoka, yeah, or the series anyway, and the finale. There was one other thing that you and Michelle had talked about that I guess I want to give my thoughts on, and that was Sabine and her Force powers. So it obviously had been teased throughout the season, and it was never to me a matter of whether or not she was going to get Force powers. It was more like, when will they appear? When will she use her Force abilities? And I think, whereas I've seen most people seem to have the same sentiment as you for the most part, where they didn't have an issue with her calling the lightsaber to her hand. And they did have more of an issue with her using her Force, new Force powers to give Ezra that extra boost to get onto the Star Destroyer, the Chimera. I felt more in line with, I don't know why there needed to be a rush to give her those abilities this season. I would have preferred that got pushed into the next season. Like, I would have rather them given more scenes or something for Baylan and what he was doing than to give Sabine that payoff of the Force powers. I knew it was coming at some point, but I just felt like a little bit more time, and then that would pay off in a way that I think would have been, it would have felt more I think that the timing of it, again, with everything feeling so compacted, I felt like, of course this is going to be when she does it, because of the you can feel the mechanics behind the scenes of how it was written for this moment to be it. And I would have, I think rather it had been in an innocuous moment rather than, you know, that this was the moment it was going to happen at. And so I think I have no problems with her having the Force, especially because they set it up. But I think I could have went into another season before she actually showed those abilities, before it actually manifested.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, I know, I guess I said I don't really have a problem with her like suddenly using the Force with the lightsaber, but yeah. I also don't disagree with you. I mean, maybe it would have been better to hold off. I think mainly I was touching on the fact that then she turns around and trusts herself to lift someone across a huge space, right. You know, someone she obviously cares quite a bit about. And like she suddenly with that one, after that one moment, she feels confident enough that, yeah, I can lift you across this, like however many football field length like of a gap. That I had a problem with, but
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I don't disagree with what you're saying.
Yeah, but I am very curious in terms of where they will take the character, because I've been saying this all season, but for me, she felt the least like how she does in Rebels compared to live action. And so
I've seen enough of Rebels to see what you're saying, but I also, I guess I went into this going, well, I haven't seen the latter part of Rebels, so I don't know how she is like toward the end of Rebels.
Same. And in fact, I would say between where you've seen now and where you'll get to, she grows even more. So, it's interesting that it seemed like they had to reset the character just for the sake of having her to get to a new place.
Again. Yeah.
But I definitely would say that one of the pleasant surprises for me was, and forgive me, I actually didn't get a chance to look up his name, but the actor that plays Ezra, I feel like he does an excellent job of doing an Ezra version and from the animated series. Even when he's like at the end of the episode, when he's like, "Hey, Hera," he just seemed like Ezra, young Ezra to me, in the way that he says it. It just, the thing that he does and the way that he interacts, it's nice having him around, because let's face it, a lot of times other Jedi that we see can be very stoic or one note per se. And it's nice to have a Jedi that's kind of has a lighter personality to him and sort of a jovial nature. So I'm hoping he sticks around. But at some point, I guess we have to get to a point where it has to be explained why these other people that we're seeing now are not around in the sequel trilogy.
Yeah. It's tough. Like I've heard this before and I don't disagree. It's like, can you imagine how nice it would be like if we didn't have the sequel trilogy at all and we were experiencing this and we would be sitting here going, we don't know where this is going to go. This could go anywhere. It would be so nice, but that's unfortunately not the world we live in. And it adds a like cloud over the whole situation, because it's like, this is cool. And I'm enjoying, even though I'm bummed by the last two episodes of the season, as I said with Michelle, overall, I enjoyed this season. I enjoyed that this was a Star Wars show that we all felt like we had enough to talk about after each episode, that we were like, hey, where's this going? What's going on with Baylan and Shin? This feels like Star Wars. This is cool. Like, and that's great. But at the same time, the cloud that hangs over it is, there are things that could be cool that'll happen, and I'm curious to see them play out. But we all know, like, where are these people when the sequel trilogy happens? Like, Thrawn's not around, I don't know.
Yeah,
it would be nice. You have to imagine Dave Filoni, even if he would never would admit it, would love to be able to go do what he wants right. And not have to worry about falling in line with the sequel trilogy.
But, yeah, totally.
It's a bummer.
It is, because at some point they're going to have to explain what happened to these characters.
Right.
And I don't know if I'm ready for that explanation, other than maybe at some point they get rid of Thrawn and then they figure, all right, I guess we're going to be off in this other galaxy that we spent a little bit of time into and explore that and map that out or something.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it doesn't seem like it could go well.
Right. It can't go well and make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe it could, but somebody decides to retire in another galaxy now that we're traveling between galaxies or something. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, unless they're in a galaxy that they just can't just easily know what's going on over in this galaxy, over in the normal Star Wars galaxy, then yeah, it gets to be tricky and hard to explain why they would never have come back during such a big battle with everyone going on in the sequel trilogy.
Yeah. Well, unless you have anything else to touch on,
I think we're ready to wrap things up. That pretty much wraps it up.
Excellent. Well, it was fun talking about Ahsoka while it lasted. We will see if we get a season two. I guess what is next? Skeleton Crew?
They have not said, but maybe so. Although I would say that you would think it would be the Acolyte, because I feel like that was announced and done before Skeleton Crew was.
But did they finish Acolyte before the strikes?
I thought so. Like
the shooting anyway, I mean.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought it was done before that, for sure. And in fact, I kept thinking, oh, why isn't this out yet? I think I thought that that had been done for a little while and just hasn't come out yet. But I could be wrong. I do know
I could see where once this. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I do know that this past week, the celebration trailer for The Acolyte leaked online. It was on YouTube. I don't know if it's still on there, but yeah.
I heard about that. I haven't seen anything myself, but I heard about that. Yeah. Maybe I could see a situation where once the strikes are officially over and things are kind of going back to normal, then they would feel like, okay, now we're ready to announce when this is going to drop on Disney Plus. Because maybe they're still holding things close to the chest to see how much they want to spread stuff out.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So maybe we'll find out something. Hopefully soon, if the strike ends soon.
Yeah,
hopefully. With that, it has been a pleasure, and we would love to hear from everyone listening. What did you think of Ahsoka? Are we crazy? Did you enjoy it? Did you not? Let us know by emailing us at feedback@flickereffect.com. You can leave a comment wherever you're listening to us, maybe Apple Podcasts. That'd be great. We'd love to hear from you. And you can also reach out to us on social media at @flicker_effect on Threads, on Instagram, on X, wherever you choose. You can usually find us. With that, I'm Dave Lott.
I'm Bobby Jackson.
And for Michelle, I'm sure she says bye. So, bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.